Die Laveld is altyd vol met geleenthede. As jy bietjie vergelyk met wat hier gebeur en wat elders gebeur in Suid-Afrika en selfs oor see. Die afgelope week het ek met iemand gesels wat Australië toe verhuis het. Eintlik hulle kinders het Australië toe verhuis weens 'n geleentheid wat daar was vir 'n Suid-Afrikaner. Kan ek vir jou sê, daar's geleenthede in die Laveld. Ons het nie nodig om weg te trek nie. Nou, as jy meer wil weet, bly ingeskakel want ons gesels daaroor in vandag se program van Laveld Ervaring plus, jy sal my nie glo nie, maar daar word teerpraaie reggemaak en onderhou in die Laveld. Alles en nog meer is hier vandag op Laveld Ervaring, bly ingeskakel. Hy's by 100.5 FM en dis weer tyd vir daai dingie sê, dis weer tyd vir Laveld Ervaring. Goeiedag, welkom en altyd lekker om saam met jou te kuier. Ons het altyd interessante nuus en dit is die doel van die program is om te gesels oor dit wat hier in die Laveld gebeur en hoe dit 'n invloed op my en op jou het. Wat besigheid betref, wat toerisme betref, wat sommer net die leefstyl hier in die Laveld betref. Linda is weer saam met ons van die KLCBT. Welkom Linda, lekker om jou weer te hê.
Dit is altyd lekker om hier te kuier. Goeiemôre.
En ons elke week nuus, ons elke week iets nuuts.
Ja, nou ek is sommer moeg as ek luister waarmee ons is alles besig gewees die week. Dit is ongelooflik hoe besig is ons. Dit is heerlik.
Solank dit vooruitgang spel of voorspel.
Ja, partykeer moet ons maar struikelblokke uit die pad uithaal.
Ja, ja.
Partykeer is die pad ook nie in orde nie.
Oh, daar is 'n goeie aansluitingspunt daar. Ons gaan 'n bietjie praat oor paaie nou. Die verbeterings wat plaasvind in die Laveld. Ons is baie geneig om te sê, ja, hierdie munisipaliteit doen niks nie, of hierdie ouens doen niks nie, of daar's gate in die paaie, of wat ook al, maar eintlik is daar wel dinge wat gebeur, en dis wat ons doen, ons kommunikeer dit net, en mense besef, maar wag 'n bietjie, daar is iemand wat iets aan doen, so paaie is die een ding wat ons gesels, ons het weer ons gereelde insit ons waar ons gesels, is die toekenningsaand van die KLCBT wat voorlê. Daar is ook die trade show wat plaasvind, nee, dis waar enige persoon wat in die toerisme bedryf is, 'n geleentheid kan kry om blootstelling te gee van dit wat jy doen aan die res van die mense wat in die bedryf is. Ek is baie opgewonde om te hoor dat daar geleenthede is by die wildtuin, die sandparke, waar ons by betrokke kan raak, so ek wil jy met ons meer daarover vertel. Maar ons het die afgelope week na ons die vorige week gesels het heel wat mense gehad wat navraag gedoen het en spesifiek oor die myn wat by Marlof Park, dit bly maar 'n tamaletjie. Wat is die jongste daar?
Dit is 'n tamaletjie. Ons het gevra dat experts moet na vore kom. Daar is baie mense in Marlof Park wat afgetree is of wat net daar eiendom het, wat redelik experts is op baie gebiede. En ons het gevra vir volunteers om ons te help om studies van ons eie te doen in wat betref al die verskillende aspekte van 'n myn aansoek. Ons het ook deur prokureur Richard Spoor aanvraag gedoen vir die oorspronklike dokumente wat gelewer is by die Departement van Energie. Ek is nie seker of hy dit al gekry het nie, ek twyfel. Maar voor ons die daai dokumente het, laat ons presies kan sien wat is alles waar slaggate. Gaan ons nie regtig weet in watter rigting om te beklei nie. Maar intussen het ons gevra wie's experts, laat ons begin om ons eie studies te voltrek en laat ons kan antwoorde kry. Die een ding wat toe uitgekom het, ons het daar iemand gekry van die area wat nou besig is met verskeie studies, want sy is gekwalifiseer in baie rigtings. En die eerste een wat ons nou doen is 'n arbeidsopname. Van die myn sê hulle gaan 100 permanente geskoolde werkers hê en 50 semi-geskool. Nou ons weet uit ondervinding dat die geskoolde werkers gaan van ander myne, van ander areas ingebring word en selfs van die buiteland partykeer en dan die ongeskooldes is wat maar van die area afkom. So as ons nou kyk uit ons area gaan daar dan nou waarskynlik 50 mense wees wat kan 'n kry was dood. En ons gaan hoeveel werksgeleenthede verloor by plase en toerismeplekke as gevolg van die waterbesoedeling, lugbesoedeling en akligheid van 'n myn. En So ons is nou besig om 'n opname te doen met die besighede in daai area om te hoor hoeveel mense gaan hulle werk verloor as hierdie myn inkom. So dit is op die oomblik aan die gang met die myn en ek het 'n vergadering gehad met die chief daarso. Hy het vir my kom kuier, ons het lekker koffie gedrink.
Ja, jy was opgewonde oor dit geweest, want dit is deel van die grond wat onder sy beheer val, waar hierdie myn gaan plaasvind.
Ja.
Was hy oorspronklik genader?
Hy sê nee, die mense het direk na die communities toe gegaan, sonder om met hom te praat, en hulle het vir hulle duisende werksgeleenthede beloof.
Ja, jy sien.
Want dit is maar taktiek wat gevolg word, is om die communities te kry om in opstand te kom, totdat die lisensie goedgekeur word. So hy gaan nou met sy mense praat. Maar ek en hy het so 'n verdrag op die kant gesluit en hy het gesê, luister, ons moet dan ook kyk na die besighede in die plase in die omgewing, dat hulle asseblief my mense in diens neem en nie Mosambikers en Swazis en allerhande in Zimbabweers. So ek gaan nou nog moet 'n bietjie gaan gesels daarso oor die dinge, want ons wil ook nie sulke goeders hê nie. So almal in daai area asseblief of in enige area moenie buitelanders werk gee nie. As hulle net Suid-Afrikaners, dit is nie goed vir ons ekonomie nie.
Ja.
En jy gaan probleme optel, want ons moet nou hierdie communities aan ons kant kry, so ons moet nie vir hulle rede gee om nie vir ons te ondersteun nie.
Kan ek net gou een trekkie terugtree? Die persoon wat die lisensie uitreik is die departement van
energie. Ja.
Hulle sit in, ek neem aan, die stad, Pretoria, Johannesburg, Kaapstad, waar sit hulle?
Ja, hulle sit in Pretoria.
En het hulle 'n benul? Kom hulle uit en doen hulle eie ondersoek of maak hulle staat op ondersoeke wat die privaat sektor doen of, soos wat jy nou sê, ons vra kenners uit die omgewing om te kom help met die ondersoeke. Maak hulle staat op dit?
Nee.
Voor hulle besluit neem?
Nee, die oorspronklike aansoek wat ingedien is voorlopige studies wat die myn die aansoeker dan nou ingee. En op grond van dit sê hulle dan, okay, gaan jou aansoek is goedgekeur, nie jou lisensie nie, jou aansoek. Dan moet hulle verskillende publieke konsultasieprosesse deurgaan, onder andere jou environmental impact assessment, jou economic assessment en al daai tipe van goed. So daai prosesse gaan nou begin. So dan na daai konsultasieprosesse verby is en alles waaroor die mense gekla het of concerns wat hulle het, moet hulle dan mitigeer en probleme of oplossings daarvoor voorstel en teruggaan na departement energie toe en sê, okay, hierso is alles wat uitgekom het, hierso ons oplossings of hierdie is nie geldige redes nie of wat ook al, en dan eers kan hulle die lisensie dan goedkeur.
So, uit die oogpunt van 'n strategie vir die van ons wat nie 'n myn daar wil hê nie, of wel 'n myn daar wil hê nie, sou wees om direk met die aansoeker hande te vat en om 'n tafel te sit en te sê, luister, ons het besware of ons ondersteun en dit is die redes daarvoor.
Ja, nee, die daai proses is eintlik nou volgens wet moet dit gebeur. So daar gaan verskillende konsultasieprosesse wees vir die verskillende aspekte. En dit is waar almal die geleentheid kry om hulle sê te sê en dit moet genotuleer word en dan kry jy die notulus na die tyd en jy moet kyk of jou besware aangeteken is want daai goed word op die ou end ingedien.
Ja. Interessant, ons gaan het dophou, dis nog lank niet het einde, soos hulle nog langs. Goed, kom ons gesels oor die ander, is daar nog iets wat jy wou gesê van die myn, of was dit?
Ja, ons is nou goed met die myn.
Reg, kom ons kyk gewoon na die expo wat gaan plaasvind, dit is 'n interessante expo, allemaal wat in die bedryf is, dis nou om die draai, dis een van die dae, nie?
Dis die 30ste Julie by MNO20, en dit is vir al die verskaffers aan die toerisme industrie gaan daar uitstal en praatjies hou deur die dag, en dan natuurlik enige iemand wat iets te doen het met toerisme moet asseblief hierdie skou bywoon, of as jy net 'n gewone oukie is wat like daarvan om lekker kos te maak of 'n mooi huis te hê, dan gaan oulike goed wees vir jou om na te kyk, veral as jy hou van gin drink.
Hoe is hulle ook daar?
Ja.
Wie het al aansoek gedoen? Wie is al reeds daar en wie kort ons nog?
Nee, ons het ons uitstallers is nou vol. Ons het 40.
Is daar nie plek nie?
Nee.
Oei. Ok, so nou is het besoekers.
Ja, ons het 40 uitstallers en hulle is, daar is so bykie activiteite in goeders, want ons activiteite bemark ook aan gastehuise en hotelle, en shuttle dienste en kar hier. En dan, dit is nou maar die dienste, en dan kom ons na die directe dienste toe, dis meubels en decor, skoonmaakdienste, al hierdie goedjies wat jy op die kussings neersit, en dan kos en drank natuurlijk, uniforms, toerusting, televisie en satellietdienste, versekering, fotografie en ontwerp, dan is daar ook 'n toerisme applikasie of 'n app soos wat julle hom sal ken wat hulle wat die mense daar gaan wys. Dan kyk ons na pestbeheer op interessante eco-vriendelike maniere. Dan kyk ons na allerhande besprekings en bestuurstelsels vir hotelle, telefoon en webdienste. En dan 'n interessante een is anti-venom vir die groot lodges wat baie slange in goed het en hoe om en opleiding hoe om met die slange te werk en as iemand gebyt is en dan is daar ook prokureurs daar is altyd prokureurs en dan dit maak 10 uur die oggend oop wat die mense kan begin ingaan dis gratis om in te gaan en daar is lucky draws deur die hele dag, daar is verskriklike lekker goed om te wen, en ons is nou besig om nog pryse by mekaar te maak, maar daar is al klaar ongelooflike goed, so dis die moeite werd om die hele dag daar te bly, maar ook, een rede hoekom jy daar sal wil bly, is oor al die demonstrasies en praatjies wat gaan plaasvind. Van 11 uur af gaan ons begin daarmee, en ons kop weg met een chefs demonstrasie, wat een vegetarische dis gaan maak, want dis waarmee baie mense sukkel. Dan gaan ons kyk na hoe om energie en water en afvalwater in 'n goeie manier te doen. Dan kyk ons na die Housekeepers Association, wat gaan 'n paar humoristiese probleme vir ons oplos. En dis glad nie snaaks as dit met jou gebeur nie. En dan kom die Uil Reddingscentrum, wat gaan praat oor alternatiewe pestbeheer, want al hierdie gif en goed beskadig natuurlik voorlewe. En dis nou vir allerhande methodes wat jy kan gebruik as jy nie jou eie uil besit nie. Ons is nou nie allemaal Harry Potter nie. En dan gaan die kombuis weer terugkom met 'n gluten-free dis. En dan die laaste ene gaan wees oor trends in die decor en die dinge. En dan die aand van 7:30 af gaan ons 'n cocktail event hê. Nou vir hom gaan jy betaal om in te gaan. R100 as jy 'n lid is by ons en R150 as jy nie lid is nie. En dit kan jy bespreek by ons kantoor en jou kaartjies vooruit bespreek. En jy weet, daar is niemand wat kan partijkie hou soos toerisme mense nie, so as a belief moet dit nie mis nie.
Wag, een bykie, het jy die vleeniers gesien? Nee, is een grapje. Ek hou van vandagse program, as baie entrepreneurial geleenthede, soos bijvoorbeeld hierdie, ek meen, as jy in die toerisme bedrijf is, of selfs wil betrokke raak, dan is hier waar jy moet wees, gaan skiers, kouers, want is die mense wat jy wil sien. Ons gaan nou ook praat oor entrepreneurial geest van geleenthede in die Wildtuin ook. Maar voor ons albei kom die toekennings. Daar is die toekenningsaand wat voorlê, dis die einde van die jaar, die groot gala aand, en ons sal 'n paar van die kategorieë gehanteer. Wat een doen ons vandag?
Ons praat vandag oor my gunsteling, customer service.
Ah, goed.
En dit is iets wat notoriously ontbreek in die Laagveld, ongelukkig. Ons is partykeer maar bietjie stadiger as Johannesburg en nie heeltemal so mooi op ons pos nie. Party besighede natuurlik staan uit soos 'n paal bo water en ons soek daai besighede om vir almal 'n voorbeeld te wees wat kan gedoen word. So as jy trots is op jou kliëntediens en of jy weet van iemand wat behoort hierdie toekenning te kry, waarmee jy verskriklik beïndruk is, laat weet ons asseblief. Bel ons, stuur ons 'n e-pos. Nomineer, skryf in. Maak so.
Dit maak nie saak of jy ouwe KLCBT lid is of nie.
Nee.
Enig iemand in die Laagveld wat goeie kliëntediens lewer en natuurlik waarom.
Dis hy. Ons soek hulle.
Alright, so die besonderhede is beskikbaar op die KLCBT webwerf en dan kan jy die persoon nomineer daarvoor. Reg, kom ons gaan na die Wildtuin toe. Die Wildtuin het nou beleggings geleenthede, plekke waar jy kan betrokke raak. Waaroor gaan dit, vertel ons?
Ja, daar is 5 geleenthede geadverteer vir public-private partnership in die Wildtuin. En daar is details van dit in die media beskikbaar, maar jy sal dit ook op ons webwerf kry. Daar is 'n konsessie by Letaba van omtrent 15,000 hektaar suid van die rivier, waar daar kan 'n ontwikkeling van 'n lodge plaas vind met 50 beddens en 30 staf beddens. En vir 'n termyn van 25 jaar. En ek gaan nou nie almal se details so daar is ook 'n Palaborwa Lodge vir 100 bed lodge noord van die Palaborwa hek. Dan is daar 'n mobiele tent safari fasiliteite wat jy kan doen. So dit kan jy ook na kyk, die Pabeni Bushbraai area. Dan ook Palaborwa Bushbraai. So dis 5 wonderlike geleenthede en almal wat wil registreer om in aanmerking geneem te word vir hierdie partnership, kan dan met Sanparke in verbinding tree. Die details is beskikbaar op ons webwerf, maar dit is Jeanette Gryfenstein, as jy dalk wil na skakel, sy is in Pretoria, by Sanparke. So, dis iets om na uit te sien en wonderlike geleenthede om betrokke te raak in iets hier in die park.
Is hierdie areas in die park wat onderbenut is, wat nie, wat, hoe identificeer hulle so'n plek?
Hulle het ons nou so paar jaar terug begin met 'n 10 jaar plan, 'n management plan, en ook voorstelle gevra van die industrie af, wat soek ons nog, en wat so voorstelle is daar, en daar deurentyd kom daar ook voorstelle na hulle toe. So hierdie is die goed wat hulle nou aanvaar het as 'n werkbare goed wat hulle kan voorstel. En ja, ek dink dit sal goed doen.
Privatiseer.
Ja.
Dis waarop ek neerkom. Alright, so daar's geleenthede vir die van ons en omdat ons in die Laagveld is en ons lekker naby is, is dit miskien 'n geleentheid waarby ons kan betrokke raak. Dan so gepraat van die wild, daar is wildernisareas en hierdie is 'n interessante skrywe wat uitgekom het wat handel oor buitengewone plekkies in die Mpumalanga wat mense normaalweg sou gaan besoek nie.
Ja, daar is, ons het 10 van hulle geïdentifiseer en dit in die media uitgesit en dit is wyd en suid gepubliseer en ons is baie trots daarop. En ons kyk nou, ons ken vir die Jump Eden, want ons bly hierso, so ek hoef nie eintlik veel daaroor te sê nie, maar dan moet ons ook onthou van Wakkerstroom. Daar is 'n verskriklike groot populasie van endangered voël spesies en watervoëls wat 'n mens nie altyd sien nie, en ook die pink flaminke.
Ja.
So, daar is 'n hele paar baie interessante voëlspesies vir die wat hou van voëls kyk of sommer die wat wil gaan sit en luister na die voëls.
Daai is definitief 'n bucket list item. Jy moet, as jy van Mpumalanga is, moet jy Wakkerstroom doen ten minste een keer in jou lewe tyd.
Ja. En dan is daar by Secunda 100 servals, ek dink is tierboskatte, is dit?
Ja.
Naby die Sasol plant, en dit is 'n fantastiese ondervinding om vir hulle te gaan kuier, en te kyk wat hulle alles doen, en hulle is daar, want hulle eet die buitengewone groot muis populasie wat daar is, so, dis die natuur, die een vul die ander een aan, so, gaan kyk gerus na die kaaikies. Ek gaan die Blyde Rivier Canyon is natuurlik ook een wat ons baie goed ken en daar is ook verskriklike interessante voëls daar wat jy kan gaan kyk. En dan die Wit Rivier Natuurreservaat het ons al oor gepraat, wat Wit Rivier se mense nou wil graag ontwikkel en weer so maak dat 'n mens lekker kan kuier daar. So,
ek het ook gedink om miskien gou vir Tiffany te skakel en bietjie by haar te hoor oor hierdie projek, want dit klink vir my na 'n baie interessante projek, die reservaatgebied binne in Witrivier. So kom ons gesels 'n bietjie met Tiffany. Tiffany, hi, how are you?
Hi Ron, good morning, I'm well, thanks and you.
Perfect, we are absolutely fantastic. I'm very interested to know more about the reserve. I know that you've been talking about this for quite a while, but how far are we now down the line with regards to a reserve in White River?
So it is actually an official reserve. It is protected land. It's 21.4 hectares. And it's just unmanaged at the moment. So it's not so much that we need to declare it a reserve because that is done already, but we are trying to take it back and make it something that the community can enjoy again. So in terms of where we are as a committee, we've just officially been registered as an NPO. So we're the official Watch of a Nature Reserve NPO, which is obviously going to give us a lot of ground moving forward, and it means that the ball can get rolling faster, and we're very excited about it.
Right. Where, give us an idea of how do we get there. Where is this reserve?
So if you're coming through from Mouse Race and you go past Mario's Butchery, you would turn left and keep straight up the road. You'd go past Colt Hill on Donnie Vaz Street, and then it'll be on your right where the rugby club turnoff is. And it's the property through there. It's the wild free land through the rugby club entrance.
So it's adjacent to the rugby club?
It is, yeah.
And how big is this area?
It's 21.4 hectares.
That is massive.
It's much bigger than a lot of people think it is, yeah.
And when we say reserve, what does it qualify, what makes it qualify as a reserve? And then tell us about the wildlife or the ecosystems there that makes it a reserve.
Sure. So in, I think it was 1976-ish, it was declared that pieces of property from that area were donated. The Rotary was hugely involved in declaring the bottom section where the bird hide used to stand also as part of a protected land. So that together was put through by local community members because they saw the importance all the way back then of preserving green spaces. So that's its official story. There's obviously a lot we don't know because it is so long ago now that we're still trying to piece things together, and people keep coming forward with different information, which is so exciting to find out the proper heritage of the site, really.
Yes, history is very, very close to a lot of people's hearts.
Yeah.
Has it been used? You talk about a bird hide, so people have been using that piece of land.
There was a bird hide there with a little dam. Unfortunately, the dam wall broke, and the dam dissipated. So the bird hide kind of fell into disrepair. No one was able to use it any longer. But it used to be quite a thing to take your kids there and sit in the bird hide and watch the animals on the reserve. But obviously, as time has gone by, it's kind of been neglected and forgotten about. So
yeah. We're
trying to create another community hub where people have a safe place to go and be in nature. And for people who live so close to the Kruger Park can actually go and experience like a mini version of that, obviously not with the Big Five.
Yes.
But just because it's for the greater Watch of a Community. That's what we keep on saying at all our meetings. It's not just for the core Watch of a Community. It's for the Kabakweni, it's for Dulisha, it's for Rocky's Drift. We want people from Nile Space to come. We want people to come and have picnics with their kids and do trail runs and walk through and see all the animals that we have, which is actually surprisingly for a reserve in the middle of a town, which it technically is. We have a lot of wildlife there.
Give us a sense of who the people are that's spearheading this. Who's on the board? Who got together? And how did it start? How did somebody say, listen, now we need to do this?
I think what it really came to is that people had just had enough of waiting for other people to do things. And we see all this development going around, and we see our green spaces getting smaller and smaller. And there was just passionate local community members who have really huge drive for conservation and making a difference in the world that came together, and we said, look, it's all well and good talking about it. We all talk about how we need to do more, but we actually need to do more. So that's how the whole project came about. And then just interested members have been coming through as we've gone along. So, yeah.
What are the plans?
So the plans are to fence it in. That's obviously our number one. And then we can get working for water in and working for fire to help us get rid of the invasive plants and get the water running through the stream again, because it's actually a tributary that feeds the White River. So it's a very important piece of water. It's a wetland as well, which is obviously, you know, incredibly important to the environment. It's a really important ecosystem for a healthy environment. So we're going to get working for water to come in for that. Then we want to, so that's obviously our number one is to fence it in, because then it gives us control over the space and to be able to protect our animals and things. And then we're doing a big anti-poaching movement, because you would be surprised by how many snares and things are through that piece of land.
Oh my.
Like I said, there is so much wildlife. So that's our top priority, is protecting the existing animals. We've already had animals donated as well for when we are fenced in. We've had people from surrounding areas donate impala, and a promise of other wildlife once we know our carrying capacity, our carry load for the land. But obviously that all only will be able to be done once we have cleared the reserve of the invasives and found out what the felt will be like for our grazing animals. So just because it's interesting, because people don't expect it. So we've got marsh mongoose, white-tailed mongoose. We have porcupine. We found bush pig tracks. We've got genet and serval. There is also cane rats and scrub hares and dacre.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously there's the impala as well that are on the space.
Wow. Gee, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Wow. And of course, being a wetland, there's obviously a lot of smaller insects and frogs. And
yeah, and the bird life is incredible.
Yeah.
I've lived in Whitechapel for 25 years, and I've never seen, like, I lived up the road from the reserve my whole life, pretty much.
Yeah.
And it's bird life that I've never seen in my garden at home, and we're avid bird feeders. So there's, like, bee eaters and starlings, and, oh, it's just incredible.
Yeah.
It really is.
Do you have a timeline from a estimated timeline for when people can actually, when the doors will officially open, kind of?
So, unfortunately, at the moment, we don't. That's obviously on the cards. We're developing our management plan at the moment for it all, which is obviously our biggest step for going forward. And we are working on plans for it, but we need to get a lot done first. It's a lot of like background work that we're doing now before we can actually start doing things on the reserve itself. But rest assured, as soon as we are on the way, we're going to get the community very involved in helping clear out spaces and letting them take ownership of the space as well, so that it feels like it is everyone's. So hopefully in the next year or so, that would be the best, is to have a functioning reserve. We've obviously got much grander projects as well that we have in mind, like an edu center for children to come and learn about the environment and the importance of bees, and a little museum about the history of the lowveld, the nature in the lowveld. So we have grand plans. We're going to fix up the bird hide as well, which is also one of our top priorities, and rebuild the dam walls so that there's water for water birds again and for the animals on the reserve too. So it's a lot, but we're taking bite-sized pieces, and we're doing what we can for now, and we're going to get there.
So when you sell this to the community, what are the benefits? What is the words you use to sell and to tell people, listen, this is going to benefit you?
Well, I think we all need to kind of have a look at the state of the world and realize that if we don't do something as individuals, nothing good is going to come of the rate we're developing. And I think we're very lucky in terms of the community in Whitechapel that people are very passionate about conservation and don't know how to help. So we've had lots of people reach out with little things that made a huge difference. And I think is that wanting your children to be able to have a green space, to have your children be able to see wild animals in a space that technically, like, you don't think they should be there.
Yeah.
Because it's in the heart of the town. So I think that's a big drive. And also just tourism in the lowveld is obviously a huge, it's our bread and butter, you know. And Whitechapel is kind of a stop-through town. People spend a night on their way from KMIA to their lodges or to Panorama or to Kruger, and we just become like the waiting room. So I think if we were to develop something that people could spend time in as tourists, both regional and national and international, I think that would also be a huge income into the Whitechapel itself, and would be really beneficial to put us on the map in Kruger Lowveld.
Mm-hmm. Will there be...
Tourism is the only sustainable, really, income, well, sustainable resource that our country can kind of really look to at the moment, as President Ramaphosa has been saying.
Yeah. So hopefully it will be run as a business, and there will be some financial benefit for everybody. Will it be commercialized? Will there be commercial opportunities? Are there people putting up their hands saying, listen, we want to make money out of this, and we're obviously going to put that back into the community or not?
Well, at this point, like I said, Robin, it's in its very early stages, you know, but at the moment, that's not what any of the committee members are doing it for. It's not by anybody in the community who's getting involved for it. But obviously, we have plans to get community members involved in terms of the maintenance of the reserve. So there is going to be job creation, which is very important to us and part of the project. But it's not, no one's doing it for financial gain.
Yeah, Perfect. Sounds excellent. And just for safety, probably, well, we won't know until we're there yet, and then we'll have a look at people's safety, because I think that's, here in Nelspruit, definitely a problem at the open areas where people like to walk and to jog and exercise. Safety is a concern, but I guess we'll address that when we get to that.
Well, that's what the fence is for. So we're going to be able to, once we put that fence up, we'll be able to have more control over the space itself, because at the moment it is a bit of a worry spot for white people residents, especially that live on the road. So we are working on that. That is also key in selling that to the community, because we do want to have some kind of control over our safety when we're in there. So that's why we're going to have gates. It's going to be gated, so it won't just be open for anybody to do anything in. It is something that's very important to us to take control over the space.
Just while I've got you now, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get involved? What do you do in White River?
So I studied zoology and environmental science at university. And then I traveled overseas for 2 years and came back to work for my mum, who owns Mufasa Safaris, and I'm the marketing manager there. But I've always had a great passion for wildlife and conservation, and I haven't been able to tap into that of yet after leaving university. And I was approached by the committee that had already formed to come and hear some meetings and listen in. And from then, I kind of got very passionate about it, and I was elected to be chair for the reserve committee. And that's pretty much it, yeah. Just it's an exciting project, and it's all passion-driven, which is what I think is the best part about it, is no one is doing it for anything other than the need to. It's like the want to. There's no one being forced into it. It's not...
Yeah.
No, an obligation. It's something that people are really, really, really love doing.
So what is the dream then at the end when you can turn around and say, we've achieved it? What is that dream?
So the dream would be to have a place where community comes together, I think is what it is. It's like it gives you that sense of safety and the sense of community, because we've got the sports clubs there as well, which are very important, and they're very integral to the formation of the space. Because they have a long heritage in the space as well. So we'd like somewhere that people can come on a Sunday and cry with their kids, and children can watch birds at a bird hide, and learn to have a passion for wildlife from something that's in their own backyard, which is, I think, very important.
So 30 to 50 years from now, kids will be, well, adults will be telling their kids about stories when they were kids and this all started.
Exactly. That's what we want. We want that ownership. And so we're doing big drives at the moment as well at markets. We've been very lucky to partake in the Castlebridge market and the Baghdad market, where we've done little stalls where people can come and paint a canvas and either keep a canvas or donate it, which we're going to put up in our museum.
Okay.
We have our museum one day. So there'll be a wall of all the people that started the contribution to the reserve. And we're wanting to plant trees with GPS coordinates so you can come back with your family decades from now and say, this is the tree I planted when I was, when the reserve started. So we do, we have big dreams, and we have a lot of work to get towards them. But it's huge, but it's not insurmountable. And I think we've learned that very quickly with the support that we've had to the community, which I can't say enough, has been overwhelming. Our meetings have been full, and we know to get anyone in the Lowveld anywhere on a weekday in the winter is tough. But at no point did we feel like we had that poorly attended meetings. At no point have we felt like anyone's kind of gone like, oh, it's a terrible idea, it's never going to work. Everyone's just like, what can we do?
Yeah.
How can we make this happen with you?
That is what I love about the Lowveld.
It's so special.
Yeah.
It really is.
Fantastic. Tiffany, thanks for spending some time with us and explaining to us. And I no doubt we'll talk to you again as soon as we get closer. It's an interesting and exciting venture, and all the best of luck. We want to be part of that. We want to follow it, monitor it, and just develop it with you. So well done.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Robin, and thank you for having us on.
Yeah.
And if I could just ask, we do have a Facebook page. It would be great if people could follow, just so that they can see what we're doing, because it's a lot easier to show people like what we're doing if you have a direct link to it. So we're putting up images of the animals that we're finding on our camera traps, which we have in the reserve. So if people can follow that and follow our story, we'll be constantly updating it and letting people know what's going on.
Perfect. What is it called? Facebook White River Reserve.
White River Nature Reserve.
White River Nature Reserve. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. We'll be following that. Thanks a lot, Tiffany.
Thank you so much, Robin.
Enjoy.
Bye.
So, gaan maak het draai daar so. Manjaleti, ons ken allemaal van Manjaleti, Big Five wereld, en dat is maar net een alternatief wat mense nie altyd aan dink nie. En Manjaleti beteken natuurlik Place of Stars. En of het nou die sterre is wat die plek besoek, of die sterre in die hemel, dit is die sterre. Dan Peddler's Bush en Saddleback Pass is weer vir natuurlijk voelkijkers verskrikkelijk gesog. Daar is een hele lys van bedreigde voels en daar is ook by die Saddleback Pas is daar een stukkie inheemse woud wat nog tussen die plantasies bestaan en natuurlijk gaan jy daar interessante voels ook kry en proteas. Dan Loskoop Dam, wat een bietjie verder is van ons af, het ook baie interessante visse in en nogal rare bokke soos eland en blesbok en die witrenoster, willebees en dan ook zebras en giraffes, wat ons af kameelperde jammer. Kaapse Hoop, ons ken vir Kaapse Hoop, ek dink dis nie als Pretse agterplaas, daar is natuurlijk baie interessante goeikies en die perde en so aan om te kyk. En dan ook die Kruger Nationale Park moes ons bysit, want hy is buitengewoon. Hy is gewoon en buitengewoon met al die ongelooflike hoeveelhede species daarso. En hy is nogal baie goed bestuur ook.
Ek kon op daai noot, nee, kon ek na die dag lees ek iets oor Mauritius en dit het my opgeval, hier is een fun fact, hashtag fun fact, Mauritius het geen wilde lewe nie. Daar is nie wilde diere daar nie.
Nee, nie veel nie. Nee.
En kan jy glo, ek kan myself nie indink, hoe bly jy op een eiland of op een land en daar is nie, of een stuk grond en daar is nie wilde lewe nie. Blykbaar die slange wat daar is, die ergste slang is so min giftig, dat het eindelijk nie eens giftig is nie, is amper,
ja.
So is my nogal raar om dit op te gelees het, maar nou woon ons hier in Afrika en ons het die wildtuin en ons het, so jy sê, dit is gewoon en buitengewoon.
Dit is vir ons ongewoon en vir baie mense buitengewoon, ja. Maar dit is die eilande, soos Nieu-Zeeland het ook die diere,
ja.
Behalwe die skape wat hulle mee boer.
Waarmee hulle oorgekwam.
Ja.
Dan, teerpinkie of nie? Klem op die teer. Het iemand dit raak gesien? Die paaie wat verbeter word in ons omgeving waar ons woon. Jy sê in die dorp self is al paaie wat reggemaak word en dan ook bykie weier. Ek weet trek en vier, laat ons ook weet van al die opgraderings. Vertel ons een bykie.
Ek wil graag begin met in die dorp met Pennystraat. Dit is nou daar na by Orchards daar buiten, want daar is mis een nieuwe ontwikkeling wat daar plaas vind. Nou die ontwikkelaars is tans bezig om Pennystraat op te gradeer. Daar is alle verkeerslig daar wat werk, so asjeblief stop by hom. Paie mense kom terug van vakantie af en weet jy, daar is een nieuwe verkeerslig. He. Nou wil ek net sê, daar is tans een consultatieproces aan die gang oor om die Pennystraat deur te vat, laat hy kan aansluit op 'n ander plek, so hy gaan deur die berg gaan. Nou, daar is mense wat beswaar gemaak het teen daai plan. So ek wil net vir die mense sê, omdat die opgraderings tans besig is met Pennystraat, beteken dit nie, daai proses is gefinaliseer nie, dit gaan nog steeds aan, maar die opgradering met die huidige Pennystraat word in elk geval gedoen. So moet nou nie dink dat die volgende oomblik gaan die dinamietkerse daar geplant word nie, asjeblief. So, ja, ons is baie dankbaar, want die verkeer is baie swaar en word swaarder daar so, dat iemand die munisipaliteit tegemoet gekom het om dit te doen. So dit is in die dorp, en dan die Carino kruising, dit is natuurlijk een verskrikkelijke groot probleem vir ons KMI, Plaston en 4 kruising. Daai verkeer is ongelooflik, en trek het nou begin om daai ding op te gradeer, so dit sal ook verskrikkelijk baie help.
En ons het nou ook gevra dat Solange by ons aansluit om bykie meer met ons daar oor te gesels, as deel van die hele opgradering en al die werk wat gedoen word op die snelweg. Welkom, lekker dat jy by ons is.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so Linda just told us about the work that's being done there, but tell us more, maybe a little bit in depth, what are the big projects on the N4 that has now come to an end and we finally can drive the whole
stretch of road without any stop and goes. And then we also want to talk about some new roadworks that's coming soon.
Okay, well, concluded recently was obviously the Crossroads to Bambi project, which started at the split to Schoemanskloof Elands Valley split and went up Schoemanskloof Road to Bambi intersection. That was completed very recently. It was a 10-month project.
That's quite a long stretch of road, that.
Yeah, it's about 15, if I'm not mistaken. It wasn't a major construction project. It was more rehabilitation, because obviously a road has a certain shelf life, if I can put it in those terms. So every certain amount of years, we have to rehabilitate the pavement so that it offers good drivability and obviously high safety standards. That's part of our contract as concessionaires to SANRAL. Then the other major project, which is complete, it's only auxiliary works being done at the moment. That's the little, you know, the little works, if I can say it that way, is the Matola Maputo upgrade. That was over 24 months took. It was a major upgrade. We've changed, those that are familiar with the area would know that it was originally two lanes on each side of the carriageway. Now at the completion, it is now three lane carriageway on either side. Main reason for this is that section of the road is the busiest throughout the route. You'd be amazed at how much traffic drives in that area on a daily basis between Matola and Maputo.
Yeah, and we as South Africans who travel through there know what it is like to sit in that traffic. Yes. So now with an extra lane on both sides, tremendous.
Yes, we have to accommodate the ever-increasing traffic volumes, and that's part of what our contract says. So yes, it was a lengthy project. We're fortunate that Mozambican drivers are actually quite patient, and they were very patient with us. There were unexpected delays that always happen with construction projects, but they've all or a lot of people have commented on and complimented us on the completed roadwork, so we're very happy with that at the moment. Then of course new stuff,
yes.
major stuff in the pipeline. Number one is the Belfast Machado interchange that took off earlier this year. It was supposed to start last year, but there were some problems, community related problems, so we had to put it off for a whole year. But it's officially off the ground, and it will also ease traffic in that area.
Just the Belfast Machado, so where will this, will the whole stretch from
that
Belfast?
The whole stretch. You'll see if you drive the road now, there's roadworks from Belfast to Machado.
And the kind of roadworks are?
Well, we're building an interchange, so
okay.
It's a very in-depth, major upgrade.
Okay.
So it just eases the capacity of the road and also increases or improves traffic flow.
I'm trying to think, interchange between Belfast and Machado.
Mm-hmm.
So where is the interchange then?
It's at the Machado intersection. We're going to make it into an interchange. So it's like a slipway, like you would have in Joburg.
Okay, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
So at the moment it's an intersection.
Correct.
But it will soon become a slipway, like you have here coming into Nelspruit.
Okay.
You can either go straight to Malalon or you can take the slipway.
Does that justify? I mean, Machado is such a small town. Does it justify a big road like that or a slipway?
It's not about Machado. It's about that. Remember, we work on traffic counts and we have traffic counters. So it's about how much traffic passes in that area.
Mm.
So it's not necessarily related to Machado or Belfast. It's just that area has high traffic volumes, whether it's truck volumes, whether it's single vehicle. It's not necessarily from the towns. It's just, and it's also part of our contract. We have to hand the road back in a certain way 9 years from now, which is when our concession ends with SANRAL, and that is one of the conditions. So it's all part of a contract, and it has to be done.
And safety as well.
Of course.
That's a high accident area.
Correct, 100%. And then, of course, we have the Montrose to Skagen upgrade, which you may have noticed if you live in the Lowveld. That starts at the Montrose intersection. That's coming off Schoemanskloof onto the Elands Valley N4 road and all the way up to the Skagen intersection. That's also just not a major upgrade. It is basically rehabilitation, so we're redoing the pavement. You mentioned something about no stop and goes. Unfortunately, with the topography of the area, there are occasional stop and goes for this project, but it's not like it was. It's Kommunskloof or Section 16 in Mozambique, where the stop and goes are daily. It does alternate, and it doesn't happen every day. So we just urge road users to be patient. I think people that drive our road can testify that although there is construction and sometimes there are delays, the end result is worth it. Mm-hmm. If you drive the gorge now, it's amazing. And yeah, 4 years ago, you know, the stop and goes, people were, you know, rather impatient and upset, but it's all a distant memory now because the road looks amazing and it drives amazing and it's very safe.
How do you, while we talk about that, before we move on to the next one, how do we manage stop and goes? But because to sit at a stop and go for 20 to 40 minutes, and I've heard of cases where people say they sit longer there, is there a way that we could manage that to sit for shorter periods?
The contractors, because obviously all projects are contracted out to subcontractors, on their contract, it's stipulated how long stop and goes should take place. And we're rather strict on that. So obviously we can't be there every day, all day, every time. So the only suggestion we have is if you are finding that you're sitting at a stop and go longer than the stipulated time, is that you contact us so we can address it directly with the contractor. It is a strict regulation on their contract. Obviously, we don't like stop and goes, but unfortunately, there are parts of the road where we can't make a contraflow, or, you know, there's only one lane in each direction, so there is no alternative but a stop and go. Mm. Before we implement a stop and go, we always try and find alternatives, but unfortunately, that's not always possible. But yes, the only solution or the only recommendation I can give you is we got to know from the road users what the experience is on the road. We have a help desk for that, and I can promise you if we get complaints and inquiries, we do follow it up. It happened with the gorge 4 to 5 years ago, and we eventually got involved and said, right, you know, things need to change, and it did. Mm-hmm. So that's the only solution I have. I hope it helps. All right, and then the other major big project currently on the go, started very, very recently, is the Carina Interchange. Anyone who's familiar with the route in that area would know that between 6 and 8 in the morning and maybe 4 and 6 in the afternoon, things get a little bit hectic in that portion of the road, with people going to Kanyamazan, the airport. It is a very busy part of the route. We now have patrolmen, obviously, directing traffic. So the Carina Interchange is going to ease that traffic flow immensely. Again, another situation like we're going to have in Mashadu, like we have here in Nelspruit coming to the Ring Road, etc. So yes, it's going to be major. There isn't many traffic deviations or traffic disruptions expected there. For now, there's no stop and goes planned. There obviously, as with every construction project, there'll be lane deviations, lane restrictions, etc. But at this stage, because the topography of the road, we don't foresee that there'll be. The only problem will be because it's a very high traffic zone, so delays can be expected due to the immense volumes of traffic. And we've currently now moved the Carina hawkers are going to be, you know, there's hawkers there. They're going to temporarily be moved. We're not sure where. SANRAL's involved in that with us at this stage. It will also form part of our CSI initiatives.
Nice.
Because we believe that putting them in a good location once the interchange is built will also bring them a lot of business, a lot of feet. And so it's a huge project. It's a really, really huge project.
Yeah.
And then, of course, after that, there's a lot more coming, I have lots of lists, but I'm sure that's not what you're interested in.
All right. So to round up, I think we understand that there needs to be work done. It is a costly exercise. But eventually, we can be proud of the road. We are probably one of the most expensive roads in South Africa, or we are. But we have the most beautiful drive. It's you've got to balance that. You have the best drive from all roads in South Africa, yes, but you need to pay for it. And these kind of works is exactly what happens.
Well, that's I would say that the majority of toll fees go towards these projects. We're looking at projects over 300, 400, 500 million rand at a time,
yeah,
and that's just for the upgrade projects. I'm not even talking about routine maintenance. Routine maintenance is done daily on our road. So things like cutting the grass, things people don't even notice we do, putting the cat eyes on the road, painting lines. And that at the moment runs at 115,000 rand per kilometer per year.
Sure.
We have 570 kilometers of road. So, you know, it's a very simple formula to work out what just the routine maintenance costs a company like Track.
Yeah.
And then you add all the major projects and roadworks, and you understand why toll fees are necessary.
Yeah.
And of course, the other thing about Track is we're the only concession company that has our own staff. We don't contract any of our operational staff out. So all our toll plazas, all our load control centers, they're all operated by Track staff. They're not operated by subcontractors. So that toll fees also pays for those costs.
Yeah. The other thing you mentioned was the contract's coming to an end in 9 years' time.
Yes,
so will there be a renewal, or is there an opportunity for that? The reason I ask, I mean, you're looking very well after you take care of the road, and I'm just scared somebody else comes in now and it's back to square.
Yeah, I think that's a question best answered by SANRAL. We can't answer, you know.
But do you apply?
Yeah, we will. Well, I don't know what our heads will do and our board will do. You know, at this moment, that's we know the contract's ending in 9 years. I'm not sure what the plans are going to be then. A lot changes in 9 years.
Yes.
But the only agency that can really give you an answer to that question is SANRAL. They are our clients, so they will have the ultimate say.
All right, something else, the tag lanes. That's been introduced a few months ago, maybe a half a year ago or so.
Yeah, I can't really remember. Yeah, possibly about a year ago.
We see it as
No, it
we
was
drive.
Over a year ago because of Easter.
Yeah,
Easter.
How is that going? Because we see people driving through that tag line. They're going through a lot faster than we can. And how's the system working?
No, it's working really, really well. Unfortunately, there are still some road users that don't see the tag only lane, and it does cause problems in the lane. They have to reverse because
yes,
they don't
have
tags. But yes, it's very efficient, especially during high traffic volume days, like your holiday periods, your long weekends, your public holidays. At Diamond Hill, we have something very unique in that regard, and that is the express lane. So basically, at our three South African plazas at the moment, which is Middelburg, Mashado, and Nkomazi, we have the tag lane that you're referring to, where you actually just come to a slight stop, wait for the boom to open and advance. At Diamond Hill, because it's a completely different type of plaza, it's our most modern plaza, we have the express lane, which basically you can go through at over 100 kilometers an hour. We don't encourage that, but I'm just explaining without stopping, and the boom just opens if you
That's
have a tag.
That's the one where you veer off
Correct,
all the way
to the
left.
Yes. And then while you're in that lane, if you don't have a tag, it will push you out back into the normal highway, which you can just go through the normal plaza and pay in another form or format. And if you have a tag that's working, it pushes you through the express lane.
Wow.
And that, I promise you, we tested it at, please, again, we do not encourage it, but we had to test it at 103 kilometers.
Wow.
And the boom, you know, it's still red, the tag.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that is amazing. I must say.
Is that rolling out?
It's operating. It's
no,
fully
to
operational.
The other gates.
No, not at this stage, because like I said, the construction and the way, if you look at Diamond Hill, it was it's built completely different to any of our other plazas. And that's because initially we weren't the concessionaires for that portion of the road. That came in a few years after our contract was awarded. So that plaza was built in a completely different way, if I can put it.
It's got a different look as well.
Correct. And that is why we were able to partnership with the Express Lane. But it's, we've had a lot of compliments, and yeah, I've driven it personally, and it's awesome.
And the rest of the country, are the other toll operators looking at you thinking maybe we should introduce that?
I don't know, I'm meeting them on Tuesday. How can I answer you then? Look, they've all got Express Lane. They've all got either, N3's got the Shisa Lane, which is just another name for the tag-only lane, and Bakwena as well. But I'm not aware of anyone else having the Express Lane at this stage. So, yeah, like I say, Diamond Hill is a very unique and special plaza.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the road users that use it, even those in the Lowveld that will go through it, will.
Maybe use this opportunity. How do we get those tags? What do we need to do?
You can go to any of our plazas. It costs 50 Rand for the tag, but that 50 Rand gets credited onto the tag. So basically, it's free. And then, yeah, you just apply. You go onto our plazas. We have assistance at customer care outlets at every single plaza in South Africa. And yeah, you can also get them through SANRAL by going on the SANRAL webpage. But obviously, if you are a local, we advise that you just go to one of our plazas.
And then you just load money onto the tag.
Yes, there's different.
Before your trip,
yeah, there's different ways of making payments. You can EFT it. You can go in and pay at certain retailers. The whole information is on our website. We have a very extensive, informative pamphlet on our website, and it tells you exactly who to call, how to do it, and of course, you can always call our help desk if you need help.
Okay.
With that.
With all of the, I'm just thinking, why are we not doing that? Why are we still hogging the other lanes if this lane is available?
I think there's a whole stigma.
I was going to go that route.
If you say e-tag,
yes.
But that is why we don't call it an e-tag. We call it an automatic electronic tag.
Okay.
Because that is essentially what it is. And if you use the N4 or any other of the concessioned routes, like the N3 or the Bakwena N4 towards Rustenburg, it really makes sense to get an e-tag. It really, It really, really, and it's not 50 Rand. It gets put onto your tag.
Yes,
so you
course,
don't
yeah.
really, that's already some of your toll fees paid for. Using it in Gauteng, that's an issue I'm not going to get involved in and say too much about. But, yeah, if you're using our plazas, it really does make sense.
Yeah.
And, of course, if you're a concession holder and you get concession, which is discounts because of the way you travel the plaza, you get concession on your tag as well. So nothing changes. It really does not change. So, yeah, it is the sensible thing to do.
Excellent. While I got you here, let's talk about the work that TRAC does with the communities around the N4. Just some of the latest projects that you got involved with. And you mentioned the CSI work that you do. So just maybe tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, our CSI continues. It grows by the year. We're very prominent in certain areas. Our big one, we're busy renovating and upgrading a school in Hector Spruit, Tanda Primary School. It's looking beautiful. We're handing over in the next few weeks. We've built classrooms, we've built facilities, ablutions, and it's one of the no-fee paying schools, and it's to cater for the community in the area, which obviously feeds off our road directly. It's in Hector Spruit. That's one of our big ones. Our e-learning project continues. It has grown extensively since 2014 when it was first launched. It is now over 900 pupils are benefiting
wow.
from it directly, and there's over 5,000 benefiting from it indirectly.
Goodness me.
So it's really grown. It's gone. It started in Middelburg. It is now all the way up to Nkomazi. So
just
we
tell
really
people what the e-learning classroom idea is.
Well, it's you get taught through interactive technology. We sit in Lichbron or the program
teacher.
Holders sit in Lichbron Academy, and that's in Ermelo, and they teach remotely to our e-learning scholars in wherever they are through a very high-tech screen, monitor, projection, and then they do classes like that.
Yeah. So
and
these kids wake up in the morning, they go to this classroom, which is close to the highway, close
correct.
To...
Well, now they're actually at schools.
At school.
We've actually gone a step further, and we've actually furnished some schools with the technology. And now those schools are broadcasting to other schools. That's where the indirect
okay.
learning comes in. And we started with only matriculants in 2014, and now it's expanded to other grades as wow. well. And obviously, it's we focus only on maths and science at this stage, because those are the two subjects that A, seem to be a problem in South Africa, and B, that we as a engineering construction-related company believe strongly in, being sure. maths and science. I don't know how I got a job there, but we'll leave that for another day. But yeah, so that's where, why I say directly, learning from Lichbron Academy, we have over 900 pupils, but indirectly, some schools, some of our schools now have been furnished with those, and now they are teaching other schools in their area, yeah. which is amazing.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
For spending some time with us and just explaining to us the roadworks, the work that's been done, the work that's coming up. So as we might uitkyk daar in the Kaapmeiden omgeving. Kaapmeiden?
Carino.
Carino.
Kaapmeiden is also coming up soon.
Oh, okay.
We're going to do something there from Kaapmeiden to Karig. But we haven't released that press release. So okay. Once we've appointed the contractor, we'll let the public know. So yeah, a lot of happening on the road.
Yeah.
Really a lot. Yeah. So.
En vir nou met alle woorde by Carino en dan natuurlik al die werk wat julle langs die snelweg doen met al die interchanges wat kom. So excellent. Dankie
yeah,
vir gesels het.
If I can just ask, given all the amount of construction, if people can just respect construction sites. Of late, we've had quite a few accidents at construction areas. And it's not that the construction areas are unsafe in terms of regulations. Obviously, a construction area is always poses a hazard on a road. It's logical. But all the signage is there. All the demarcations are there. And people must really just obey them. You know, if it says drive at 40, please drive at 40. There's a reason. We don't sit at night thinking, oh, how are we going to irritate road users by decreasing the... There's a reason why we do it. Yeah. And especially Montrose, Skagen, we've had quite a number of accidents. And again, it's people speeding in the construction area. It's people not... sticking to the demarcated areas, trying to be funny and take gaps where gaps don't exist, and it's very unnecessary. If everyone just obeys the signage and follows logic and protocol in these areas, we can really severely reduce the amount of accidents, which in turn cause further delays.
Yeah.
And we already have that with a construction area. So yeah, it is an appeal that we as Track make to road users, and not just drivers, pedestrians. We have people working on those sites. Their lives also matter. So yeah. If we can just appeal to people to just respect that.
My donkey, Solange Suarez, Media Liaison Officer, is that right? For Track Info, hier by ons vandag om 'n bietjie te gesels oor al die dinge wat op die snelweg gebeur. And, we got to do this more.
Yeah, we have to. I love it.
Thank you. So. Ons is miskien die duurste tolpad in Suid-Afrika, maar ons is definitief ook die mooiste en die beste onderhou.
Ja, en natuurlik doen Trek ongelooflike werk langs die pad ook met die geld om communities op te lei in veiligheid. Dat as daar ongelukke of iets gebeur, dan is hulle opgelei in eerste hulp en daai tipe van goed. En allerhande ander mooi liefdadigheidsprojekte.
Uitstekend. Dis ons program vir vandag. Ek waardeer het. Baie dankie, Linda. En as ons volgende week weer mekaar sien, hoop ek is daar weer een hele dagboek, een hele Laagveld ervaring. Vol met dinge wat ons ook kan gesels.
Dit sal definitief so wees. Intussen gaan maak het raai op ons nuwe webtuiste klcbt.co.za en lees oor alles.
Nou ja, die somer is bykans hier. Mooi dag vir jou verder.
Tot ziens.